During the Drashot Aran, we're up to page Kuf Lamed Aleph in the Machon Shalem edition, page Shin Bet in the Musanda Rav Kook edition. The Aran was discussing what was Moshe's sin, what was so grave about what Moshe did. Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom Ka'as Al Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was upset at Israel, V'amar Lahim, and Moshe said to them, Shim'una Hamorim, listen here, rebellious ones. I mean, Asel Azen Otzi Lechem Mayim. Do you think we'll take out water from this rock? Uvimkom hazeh kvodo bimkomon munach. Lo haya ra'uy sheichos aleihem. In this instance, with all due respect, kvodo bimkomon munach means with all due respect, it wasn't right that he should get upset at the Jews. Sharereinu shehalechem mipnei sheshaluhu kahogen nitanu Hashem itbach bepanim meirot. We saw that when they asked for bread, it says they asked correctly. Bread is legitimate to ask for because people need bread. The people came to Moshe complaining. They said, we got nothing to eat. They wanted bread. The Talmud says that was legitimate. People are right when they turn to the leader and say, we need food, we need bread. And the Talmud says when they asked for meat, that was chutzpah. They didn't need meat. You could manage without that. But bread, the Talmud says, was legitimate. So if the Talmud says the bread was legitimate, so then certainly it was legitimate that they asked for water. You tell me the lechem, you need water more than you need bread. You might say Moshe was upset. Because now, after all this time, 40 years, they turn to Moshe and they say, what'd you bring this whole people to the desert for, if we're all going to die? That you see that God didn't hold that necessarily against them, because God says that their request for bread was legitimate, even though when they asked for bread, what they said was, they said to Moshe, we must have bread, you know, we wish we had died back in Egypt. That's an easier death than dying of hunger the way we are now. What'd you take us out to this desert for?
Wait, they were dying of hunger?
They weren't yet dying of hunger, but they were hungry. So they said, if we're all going to die of hunger, we wish we would have died in Egypt. So you see that God didn't hold that against them, even though they asked with a certain anger, with a certain, they're coming with claims. Nonetheless, God says it's a legitimate request. They're entitled to be hungry. So even though over here, they again asked with a certain anger, they said, what'd you bring us all out to this desert for? Doesn't seem like God would have held that against them, because they were asking for something legitimate. They were asking for water. You see that when God gave them bread, He gave it with a warm countenance, so to speak. Hashem was okay with them. Hashem said, that's a legitimate request. And you see that Moshe also didn't get upset with them when they asked for the bread. Even though, technically, every time they complained it was a sin, you see, it wasn't such a grave sin. It was wrong to complain. It was a sin to complain. But it wasn't the end of the world. So what's Moshe getting upset at this time? So I think what's going on here is the following. What was so wrong with what Israel did? Why did Moshe get upset at them? Let's see. Because every time they complained, they never said, we wish we would have never left Egypt. They said, we wish we would have died in Egypt rather than dying here. They said other things. But they never said, you know, we really regret you ever brought us out here. We really regret leaving Egypt, except the one time they said, you know, we wish we would have never left Egypt was with regards to the spies. Shamru, over there, they said, V'yomru yishelachim nitana rosh v'nashuv v'mitzrayim. The only time that they say, let's get back to Egypt, was when the spies came back with a bad report. So then the Torah says, they said to one another, hey, let's appoint a new leader and let's get back to Egypt. So you see, the one time that they say, let's go back to our old ways, let's go back to Egypt, they get the worst punishment, we know. Tisha B'Av. But what they said in their other complaints, they said, what'd you bring us all out to the desert for? What'd you take us out of Egypt for? What they're saying is, "Hayav inyanam kebena mitchatei etzel aviv." They were like a spoiled brat. So a spoiled brat complains. He doesn't necessarily mean it, but he does know how to complain. They saw that whenever Moshe asked God for something, he'd get it. So they said, what do we have to put up with this desert for? Why is it so hot? Why is it so cold? Why don't we have meat? You know, why are we eating this food that we're sick and tired of this month? They were doing things in a way that a spoiled child does. Lo derech harva v'tziyah. We don't want to travel in this dry, arid desert. They said, if we have to go through the desert, so then he should give us everything we need. Let it rain in the desert. Let it be a more pleasant desert. They came to Moshe like one who was spoiled, with the assumption that Moshe can get anything out of God. The Jews thought, Moshe is a big tzaddik, and he doesn't care that we don't have all these things. He doesn't even notice that it's hot. He doesn't even notice that we don't have meat. Moshe is not asking God for the meat because it doesn't bother him. So we have to explain to him, this isn't fair, this isn't right, we're all suffering, we want better. And that's why they were always complaining. La kavana zot, lo lezulata. You say it works, right? So, right? Right? So that was their intent. They weren't coming and saying, we really wish to go back to Egypt. They came and complained, you know, back in Egypt, we had free fish. Over here, we have no meat. We have all this dry bread all the time. So they're not saying, we really want to go back to Egypt. But they're looking for a way to complain. So the kid says, you know, when I go to school, I get a hot lunch, and on Wednesdays I get pizza. Now I'm on this trip with you, Dad, overeating as though the fish were fishing. I want pizza. Okay, so he's figuring out a way to get his dad to give him what he wants, but he doesn't really mean to say, Dad, I'd rather be in school, take me back to school. He's finding a way to say, give me what I want. And that's why, if their request was for something that technically, legitimately, they were entitled to ask for, there's no reason to get upset at them, even though they're asking in a way that's not right. And that's why our sages said, our sages say that when Moshe got upset, and he said to them, Shamal Shimuna Morim, he turns to the Jewish people and says, listen here, rebellious ones. He shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have gotten upset and called them rebellious ones. That's where he erred. Once he got upset, the next thing that happens is a mistake. V'ta'uto alav ha'shalom haya, ki mipnei she'amar alav b'pam rishona v'ikita v'tzuf. So Moshe's mistake was that the first time he was instructed to get water for the people, God said to him, hit the rock. V'gam ata amar alav kachna atamateh. This time God tells him, take the staff with you. And the Ran already explained that there's a spiritual concept to taking the staff, even though he's not about to hit the rock with the staff. Moshe gets upset. He makes a mistake. His mistake? He thinks God wants me to hit the rock, even though that's not what God said. And then what follows is another tragedy. As our sages say, the Torah tells us, it alludes to what happened. It says he hit the rock twice. God didn't tell him to hit the rock. So he comes to the rock, and he doesn't do what he's commanded. He hits the rock, says, listen here, rebellious sons, you think either from this water you'll get, from this rock you'll get water? He gets upset, he makes a mistake. He hits the rock. A few drops start coming out. So now Moshe's got a problem. Hey, wait a second, this isn't working, right? So he hits it a second time. But now, what Moshe's really done is, on some level, undermined everything he did until now. Wait a second. You're a prophet. If God told you to hit the rock, why didn't it work the first time? God tells him, you just desecrated my name. I told you to do one thing, you did something else, and then it doesn't work, right? The Kach Amru Chazal and Sar sages said, Afal pi shelo amru zeh bederech hazeh b'shaveh. Even though, technically, when our sages said it, there are different opinions exactly what happened. Whether he hit it twice, the first time nothing came out, the first time something came out, that he realized he hit the wrong rock. Different opinions, but bottom line, it's not what you expect from a prophet of God. If you're a prophet of God, there's no trick that, hey, it didn't work. Wait a second. That's a desecration. That's where Chazal say Moshe got upset, he made a mistake, and that mistake led to the desecration of Hashem's name. You're the top prophet. Mistakes like this shouldn't be happening. We're all human. Like the Rambam says, one of the things we learn from this is that we're all human, and even the greatest prophet came to anger and came to error. But it was an error, and he paid for it.
If it wasn't an error, why did he pay for it?
Because he could have prevented it. He should have taken greater control of himself and not gotten angry. Last night's class, right?
And he asked why it was an error.
Why? What? He asked why was he punished if it was a mistake. So we said that he could have prevented the mistake.
If he caught it early on, he had all of himself that he's human. And even if the highest level, it could happen.
אבל מכל מקום העניין מראה בעצמו שהם יוצאים בפעם ראשונה בשפע לא היה צריך משה להקותו פעם שנייה, אבל בראשונה לא יצאו כראוי. So the Ran says, technically, the verse is giving it away. The verse doesn't say it overtly. Our sages don't exactly spell it out. But you see, the verse says he hit the rock twice. Why did the verse mention he hit it twice? It's obviously telling you the first time didn't work right. והעניין בזה. So the idea over here is Shafatisha Mitsadakaya Ayarushetsu Maim Yoter. Technically, the way the Ran explained, that God makes certain things have a spiritual aura. So if the staff became a snake miraculously and turned back into a staff, and this staff is no longer a natural staff, it's not an ordinary staff, it's something that has had direct godly intervention, so then on some level that has an impact on its surroundings. So if merely bringing it to the site of a miracle has some impact on the site, it would seem that by hitting the rock, you're making direct contact with the staff. Certainly, there should be even more water.
Im kol ze, nonetheless, mipnei shelo nasa b'rtzon Hashem itbarach, ma she'a ra'ui la'azor he'a ma'akev.
But let's remember the God factor, right? God didn't tell him to hit the rock. Miracles aren't on autopilot. It's not, you know, I'll wave my wand and who knows what happens. Yes, there's spirituality. Yes, there's potential. And yes, there's a system, like the Ran explained. There's a system through which God does miracles. But that doesn't mean that now man can take control and create his own miracles. So Moshe Rabbeinu's taking the staff. If it were all a question of autopilot, you figured it out, you have spirituality, hit the rock, yeah, you get water. No, but
the rock.
Just a second. Being that God didn't say so, so then God reversed the order. Whereas hitting the rock, technically, if we work within the spiritual order of things, should have produced waters? No, now it didn't. That we discussed a few times ago. The Ran had discussed the concept of one form of matter turning into another. And the idea that the Ran had explained that that's really what happened when water came out of the rock.
כי לא היה עניין פועל טבעי.
Because hitting the rock had no natural explanation as to why it should make water come out.
אבל תלוי ברצונו של מקום.
If God wills it, so then it'll happen. Had it been a natural phenomenon, it should have worked the first time.
ואין ספק כי משה כשהכה בפעם ראשונה עמד כמתמיע.
Undoubtedly what happened there was, Moshe says, listen here, rebellious ones, this is the rock you want water from. Hits the rock, nothing happens. Moshe's stunned. And Moshe stood there frozen.
כאדם שאין מלאכתו יוצאת כאשר כיוון אליה.
Like someone who tries to do something and suddenly it's off. You know, you build the whole car and then you call in the boss and say, look, and you stick the key into the ignition and you turn, nothing happens.
Huh?
So that's what happens. Moshe says, this the rock? Okay. Hits it, and stands there stunned, nothing doing. He doesn't know what to do.
V'chazar v'ikau shenit k'mistapek.
So Moshe doesn't know what to do. He hits it a second time, but already it's very clear that he's doing it in doubt.
Shema bakar rishona lo hayta machshavato d'veika b'shlemut im Hashem itbarach, v'lachen yatza po'al bilti shalem.
Moshe thinks,
Maybe I wasn't focused. Maybe my thoughts weren't focused enough on Hashem doing this miracle. Maybe I wasn't worthy in order for a miracle to happen. So then maybe I have to be much more focused that Hashem is about to create a miracle here, like in davening. So Moshe hits the rock the first time, it doesn't work. He says, okay, maybe I didn't have enough kavana. So he focuses himself and hits it a second time. Vaz yatzu mayim rabim. So he hits it a second time, and then a lot of water came out. Lo mibnei akash shenit. It's not that the second time he hit it, it worked, and the first time it didn't. Aval mipnei shamayim shetzilu lazuf partzu v'yavohu. Because what Hashem did was Hashem made it that the initial waters that came out were drops. And the idea was to indicate that Hashem wasn't pleased with what was going on here. And had Moshe taken a step back and waited a minute, those drops would have turned into the torrent that they later became, even without his hitting the rock a second time. Because what God was showing was, I'm not pleased with the way you played this out. And in fact, the intention was, give it a minute and it'll become that stream. But Moshe didn't give it that minute because last time he hit it and right away a torrent came out. This time, only drops are coming out. But on the contrary, it could be that by his hitting it a second time, less water came out. That torrent that would have come out was suddenly decreased. Because if God says do X, and a person does X plus 1, then he has detracted from the mitzvah. He hasn't enhanced it. Hashem said, take four species, lulav, esrog, arava, hadasim. A guy says, that's beautiful, but you know it's all green and yellow. A little bit of red would be even more beautiful. He takes a few roses and puts it around his species. Now, isn't that gorgeous? No, they didn't do the mitzvah. You try to add, then you're destroying. You're not adding, you're detracting. So God tells Moshe, speak. He doesn't speak, he hits. And then he hits a second time. So that is a greater detraction.
Once he hits the first time, he's told to speak, it's already a big issue, right? I mean,
right? That's
the roses. But that's the question. Why that? That's hard. Why did he hit it instead of speak? I mean, you could be frustrated.
He got confused.
Frustration with the people.
He got confused. We saw it last night in Koheles.
Yeah.
Right? That when people chepper, right, people annoy a person. You know, and Chazal say the Jewish people annoyed Moshe. Chazal say he didn't bring this yet. But Chazal say that when Moshe came to get water out of the rock, people started saying to him, not that one, that one. Not that one, that one. Moshe, if you can really do it, why don't you do it out of that one? So they're standing there challenging him as he's about to do it. They're getting him annoyed.
Yeah. So it's like
that's what Chazal say. He got annoyed, and when a person gets upset, he makes mistakes.
And when you just said that, where did they get the idea that even with that, Hashem, okay, I can be human, but you hit it again, and because of that, some forces came in that somehow be less than the torrent that would have originally been. Would we get that the people were not satiated with the amount of water that came in?
Ah, no, look, they had enough water to bathe in, to wash their clothes right. in, to drink. Right. So they had enough water. It's a question of having
to wait a little longer or whatever.
Yeah.
Would have been a more perfect.
I hear that deserves a broader discussion because you're right, as we saw. Did we see this together last night? We saw it last night. That in fact, Hashem already decreed Moshe would not enter the land of Israel back in Egypt 40 years earlier.
Right.
So there is that indication, and the Malbim really
discusses that at length. And the truth is that the Medrash discusses, really we have three occasions that I can remember where Hashem is upset at Moshe, and there's even a fourth according to some Midrashim. And a fifth according to some Midrashim. So, okay, some Midrashim, we'll try to go in chronological order. Some Midrashim say that Hashem took Moshe to task over killing the Egyptian. Even though he saved the Jew, Hashem said to Moshe, who told you to kill the Egyptian? So that the Ar Midrashim will say that, even though ordinarily we're not accustomed to that approach, but that there is such an idea in the Midrash. Then you have Midrashim that say that Moshe erred in his refusal to go and take Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, meaning a certain level of humility was okay, and he took it a step too far. Hashem got upset at him at that. We have the idea that Moshe erred by not circumcising his son, right? Then we have Moshe's error in turning to Hashem in Egypt, when Dathan and Abiram got him upset, and he said to Hashem, yeah, you haven't saved them yet, it's only getting worse. At which point Hashem tells him, you'll see now, and you won't see later. You'll see. You ask the question, okay, I'll give you the answer, but you're not going to see more than that. You will not go into the land of Israel. Hashem indicates, Hashem doesn't overtly say it. Then there's another thing which the Torah doesn't overtly say is a sin, but a Chazal understood it was a sin. When the people asked for meat, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, God tells Moshe, they'll get it, and Moshe says to God, God, what do you plan on doing here? Are we going to slaughter cattle? Are we going to collect all the fish of the sea? How are you going to feed them? And Hashem tells Moshe, you have a question about how I'm going to feed them? I have a problem how to feed them? So the Malbim says, in fact, that was where Moshe's fate was sealed, and the Torah covers it up. The Medrash says the reason that sin wasn't as weighty as this sin was because that was in private. So you see, Chazal did learn that was a mistake. Moshe's asking Hashem. Commentaries say that Moshe was simply asking, how's it going to work? He wasn't asking God, how can you? But rather, how will you? But the Medrash doesn't necessarily go that route. And finally, we have the story of the sin with the rock. If you're saying there's a build-up, I don't know if there's a build-up, but from what I can remember off the top of my head, that's an order of what we see where Moshe erred. And again, we have the indication back in Egypt, Atat Tireh, you will see now the salvation, and that is an indication. If you remind me on a Thursday night, Rav Shlomo Fisher has a piece on the connection between the sin of the rock and the sin of complaining. Why aren't the Jews saved yet? Which is a broader discussion. But remind me Thursday, Bezat Shem, we'll try to get to that.
Okay. Is this big theme that Moshe wants to be in Eretz Israel, to go into Eretz Israel with Am Israel, is it based on, if he's there, Am Israel and the world can reach a certain level? Or is it based on, which that would seem to be something like that, because if he does his role and leads them up to Eretz Israel, and he's basking with Shechina and blah, 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 whether he's physically there or not should matter to him unless it's qualitatively differently for what happens to Am Yisrael. You follow what I'm saying?
Thursday night. Right. I'd rather give you a longer answer.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay, back to the run. Ve'en safek, and undoubtedly, sha'am ayu mekirim tzat, mizeh betnutav vakarat panav. Undoubtedly, he's standing in front of everyone. They understand something's going on. Meaning when they're watching what's happening, you can't say it was seamless. You can't say, yeah, it was very smooth. One, two, out comes the water. No, it was one, okay. Hit it again, and everyone watching sees that Moshe has a question. Hayaze mevi safek belibam, undoubtedly, says the Ran, painful words. Undoubtedly, people started doubting. Ki Moshe v'Aaron bechokhmatam otziu lehem mayim min haselah. Maybe This isn't God after all. Maybe this is Moshe and Aaron. Maybe this is just a human gimmick going on here. So that's very severe. To undermine his own legitimacy. To do something which causes the people to look at him and say, oh, wait a second. Maybe not. Maybe this isn't God here. Because remember, when we test the prophet, he has to be 100% accurate. If the prophet says, tomorrow at 12 o'clock sharp, the sun will set, midday, and we go outside, and at 11:59 the sun sets, he gets a death penalty. Because that's not God. God isn't off by a minute. The miracle happened. No one knew the sun would suddenly set midday. Comes 11:59, sun flies across the sky and sets. You look at it and say, how did he know? Come the sages and say, death penalty. But he didn't get it right. God isn't off by a minute. A prophet has to be 100% accurate. So technically, when Moshe and Aaron are standing there, so they didn't say, you know, on the first shot it's going to give water. They didn't contradict their own prophecy. They never said, I'll hit it once and water will come out. So it's not that they made their prophecy fools, but by making it seem like they were uncertain what's supposed to happen and how, they did leave room to doubt, or they created room to doubt them. V'zehu inyan ha-pasuk. And that's why when the verse describes the sin of Moshe and Aaron, Hashem says, Yan lo emantem bi lakdisheni leinei bnei Yisrael. Now the literal words of the pasuk are very difficult. The literal words say, being that you didn't have complete faith in me to sanctify me before the eyes of Israel. Kloma, what the verse means to say is, shelo dikdaktem bidvarai. You weren't careful enough with what I said. I said, bring the staff. I didn't say use the staff. Le'amin bam shebitkarev amatel pnei asela bilvad yiten mimav. If you would have been accurate about what I've said, then you would have appreciated that the mere presence of the staff near the rock will cause water to come out. V'ilu asitem ken, had you done so, hayti mitkadesh gam bapam hazot. So then, obviously, this time as well, there would have been a sanctification of Hashem's name le'enei bnei Yisrael. V'yadu et yadi v'tvurti. People would have a greater appreciation of God's might, God's capacity. But the way you did it now, the opposite came true. People started doubting. The exact opposite of God's intent was what ensued. God's name was not sanctified. On the contrary, there was room created to doubt. So we'll continue here with Zanchem next week.